Good morning. It's good to be here with you this morning. A few familiar faces. I went to SMBI with Bronson. We were dormies there, and so some good memories with Bronson and Josh Nolte back there. He's from my area and grew up in Lancaster area. And so anyway, good to see some familiar faces. And it is really good to be here this morning. And as I think of sharing about the work in Detroit, and I've been visiting several different churches kind of down in northern Indiana here, and it seems like every time I do, there's something hard that congregation is facing. And I heard news of the accident last evening, and again just reminded me of the hard things that we face sometimes. And just kind of interesting then listening this to Brother James talk, thank you, just about the church and the church's responsibilities and what our responsibility to the church looks like. And this morning I want to talk a little bit about the church as a whole, and I've really appreciated the morning so far. But I think we as Anabaptist people have so much, because we are a family, and I don't even know most of you, but I trust and I know that we are aiming for the same thing. We have same goals. We are headed to the same place. And as I think of our city, Detroit, and so many people there don't have that. When we moved, it would be almost 4 years ago, we moved to Detroit, and our house roof was leaking. So we had closing on our house in the morning, and by 11 o'clock that morning, there was a youth group there, and they tore our shingles off, and they put new shingles on, and I didn't know any of them, but they were there to encourage us but we had the same goal. We were part of the same family, and I just think of hard things that we face in the strength that we as Anabaptist people have, because we have such a large network. And now that's a little bit the goal we have here this morning, and just spreading some awareness of what the Lord's doing in Detroit. And there's just a lot of strength in having other people that are able to help carry that load. And just knowing about that feels like others can help with that. And so I appreciate your interest in welcoming us here this morning. I'm just going to give a little bit of a background of how things up there were started. And then I do have a video that we'll share of kind of the school, and just can kind of give you a little bit of a tour there. So about 8 years ago, in 2014, there was two families that developed just a vision for the young men in a city. And at the time, they didn't know what city, but they felt called to a city to minister to the young men. And as you all know, the young men are lacking examples, probably like never before. And the young men of our inner cities do not have godly influences. Most of them do not have godly examples to look up to. So as they prayed about it, they were led to Detroit. And I think one of the things that led them to Detroit was Daryl, who is the pastor there now, was doing some reading on different cities around, and he came across a list of the 10 worst cities in the U.S., and I believe Detroit was number three at the time. And for some reason, he couldn't get it out of his mind. And so he called his brother-in-law up and said, "Hey, I think the Lord's calling me to Detroit." And his brother-in-law, some of you may know Scott Stauffer from Sturgis, Michigan, be a part of the Calvary Chapel Church there. He said, "Hey, we've been praying about an opportunity too. Let's go up there." So they drove up to Detroit and drove around different neighborhoods. And they kept coming back to the neighborhood where they are now and where the church is. And I think it was fall of 2014. Scott and his wife moved there close to a year before Daryl and his wife did. So I'm not exactly sure how that all, the dates of that, but by fall of 2014, both couples were there. And their goal was to, not really to start a school at that time, not really to have a church at that time, but to minister to their neighbor boys. And so in doing that, they got in contact with a lot of their neighbor children, and they were meeting in each other's homes for church Sunday morning. And they were there, I believe, 2 years. And they called myself and my wife and said, we're seeing a need for education. The school system here is in Detroit is very, very bad. And we feel like a lot of these kids that we are in contact with would be open to a Christian school. And so we, at the time, my wife and I were living in Illinois, teaching school there at the Lynn Mennonite Church and school. And we didn't feel that the timing was right. We were committed there for another year, but the Lord wouldn't let it off of our hearts. And by the end of the second year, we had committed to a third year of teaching in Illinois. And then we found out that my wife was pregnant with our oldest daughter. And it wasn't going to work for both of us to teach there anymore. We could have stayed there, but that didn't feel like what we were supposed to do either. And so we had visited Detroit several times. And we moved over the fall of 2018. The Lord has just been so faithful in that. We moved in October of 2018, and in the beginning of 2019, January, February, a building came up for sale from, there was a Spanish church there, a fairly conservative Spanish church, and the pastor was all excited about this opportunity, and he knew Daryl and Scott, because when they moved there, they started a small dumpster rental business called Detroit Junk Busters. And they rent out roll-off dumpsters. They have a clean-out crew that goes out and cleans out trash. They clean out garages or basements or attics. And so through their work, they got to know the pastor of this church. And we were looking to see possibility of buying something for school and that we could use for church also. And he was very excited. They made a plan that if we could raise the funds in 8 weeks, that we'd go ahead and purchase the building. And he had been offered double what we had agreed on by someone local there that wanted to turn it into a weed shop. The marijuana, they wanted to sell marijuana, and he said, "I can't do that. This is the house of the Lord, and I have responsibility what it's used for." And so he offered it to us for $210,000. And by the end of the 8 weeks, we had $218,000 raised. And so it was a very wide open door to move forward with that. We did not start school then that fall. We visited some schools and talked to some administration, and there was mixed messages. Some of them said, "Go for it. should start this fall. And some said, you know what? We felt like the majority of the council was saying, take your time in starting it. Start it right. That may affect how effective it can be. And so our goal was to start then in the fall of 2020. And we know how the year 2020 went. But COVID came, and we still felt we were to start our school. And Michigan is very open at this point to private schools and homeschooling. And so we didn't have much. COVID did not affect us super much. And we had younger grades. We only started first through fifth grade. And the week before school started, we had four teachers and three students. And we felt like we were supposed to move on. And our goal for the first year was 15 students. And so we started the first day with 9. And a week and a half in, we had our 15 students. And it's been a really exciting journey to see God work in that. Last year, then, we had 27 students, and that pretty much put us to capacity with the building that we had, the church that we had bought, and we were hoping that it might last a few more years. But there is a house that came with the church building right next to the building, and so we said, okay, let's start raising some money and working on fixing the house up so we can use some space in there for classrooms. And that has, our goal was to have that ready for this fall. We start school the 24th, and the inside is still gutted. We've been fighting building permits since last fall, and we're still fighting building permits. And so you can pray for us in that those details would come together. We were able to build some, hopefully, not permanent walls in the back of the sanctuary, and we have a classroom back there this fall. This fall we have 26 students registered again. We are first kindergarten through 7th grade, and the goal is to keep adding a grade each year as we go. We use the Becca curriculum at this point. That's worked really well. I don't know how familiar you are with the Becca, but it's a hard curriculum, and it's been a challenge getting the children, especially from 3rd, 4th, 5th grade, coming in from the public school to be able to adapt to a Becca. And Laverne would testify to that. He got some 5th graders that they didn't know their multiplication facts. They struggled with reading. It was very sorry. We had a girl coming to church that was in 11th grade. She didn't come to school, but she lived in our basement with some single ladies for a time. And one day, one of the girls, that one of our staff ladies, sent her up to me to show me her progress report from school. And she was in 11th grade, and the school was treating her like she was in 11th grade. Her reading comprehension was in 2nd grade. Her math was, I think, the highest that she scored on anything, and that was at like a 4th grade level. And so it's just that kind of cemented in my mind the desperate need for something like this in Detroit. And it's been really exciting to see it grow almost too fast. We're tight on space, and so we have to be turning people away. And so pray for us that we can have wisdom to know how to expand and that the house would work out. They do pay tuition. It's a low-cost tuition. The goal behind that is that it costs them something, and that we get children that aren't getting kicked out of public school, but that are their parents are interested in their education and are willing to pay something for that. I think what I'm going to do now is look to that video. After the video, I'll open it up if there's any questions you might have, and we'll go from there.
Hello to anyone watching this video. My name is Laverne. I'm a teacher here at Grace Christian Academy in Detroit, Michigan. I don't know how much you know about our school, so I'm just going to give you a little rundown. We just finished our second year of operations. The first year, we had 15 students. This past year, our second year, we already were up to 27. So we nearly doubled in 1 year. We obviously don't want to continue to grow at that rate, or we would probably have some growing pains. Obviously, with an inner-city mission school like this, we are going to have some problems, but God is faithful, and He brought us through those struggles, those hard times, and we will continue to look to Him for strength in those problems. Like I said, this past year we had 27 students. I myself was teaching the 5th and 6th grade. I had 2 5th graders and 4 6th graders. In the 3rd and 4th grade classroom, there were 10 students. I'm not sure exactly on the numbers per grade. And then in the first and second grade classroom, there were 5 students. In kindergarten, there were 6 students. And so we had 27 total.
This was my classroom, the 5th and 6th grade classroom, and we squeezed 6 students in here at the beginning of the year. And then here we come back into the kindergarten classroom, and there were also 6 students in here. And now here I'm coming through the principal's office / library into the 3rd and 4th grade classroom. We had 10 students in this classroom this past year, so it was very full. This bracket that you see here is from our spike ball tournament this past year.
We just had that spike ball tournament this past weekend, and we're hoping to make it annual. And that is a fundraiser for our school. So if you know of people who enjoy playing spike ball, or if you play spike ball yourself, we would love to have you next year. Tentatively planning on the first or second week in June. We don't have that mapped out yet.
And now we're coming back into the first and second grade classroom. This is definitely our smallest classroom, but we squeezed 5 kids back in here. Here's our little library, and this could be another opportunity to give. If you have a lot of extra books, if you know someone who does, or if you just want to go thrifting for books to donate to the cause. Obviously, as our school grows, our library will need you also. Now I want to show you this building here, which has been a project of ours. This is next door to the church and school building that we currently have. Our goal for this building is we want to use it to expand our current school.
Boys, hard at it. Let me tell you something though, look at these ruts. Dave, he's gonna have to stay at least an additional 2 weeks just to roll our lawn back out.
Those of you who have seen my previous videos of this house, Dave has been making a lot happen here.
That's close enough to the end. That should be fine. Hopefully, that at least whetted your appetite a little bit. And you're able to get a bit of a picture of what's going on there. Feel free to follow Laverne on YouTube, Laverne Miller on YouTube. He's done several other videos. If you're interested in seeing more about it, we are working on setting up a newsletter here this fall, and also in the process of setting up a website. So stay tuned for some of that. I'll try to be in contact with someone from here when some of that gets figured out. I'm just going to open it up. Is there any questions anybody might have? Something that piqued your interest? Yes. Sure, yeah, thanks for that question. Question was outside of the school, kind of what goes on. We have obviously Sunday morning we meet. Wednesday evening we have a kids church time. And that is, we definitely have a lot more young people coming. You want to go back to Mom? No, okay. A lot more young people. We don't have many adults at this point. Our goal kind of with the school is that we can pull some parents along. And so we're continuing to work on some of that. We have time where the young people can come into our homes. That's pretty important to just for discipleship time, also just for building relationships. We have young people in our home quite a bit. Sometimes it's because they're hungry. Sometimes they're just sad. Sometimes they just need to talk. And so we try to make that definitely time for that. She's liking the attention up here. So outside of school, the Junk Busters business is a large supporting factor with the school. So a decent amount of the finances needed for the school comes from that. Definitely not all of it. We look to churches and sponsors for school students to help out in some of that. So there is everyone there. Mostly has a job. There's not really anyone there in full-time ministry. I guess other than the school teachers, it feels pretty much that way. We do pay the teachers. It's a fairly low salary, unfortunately, but it is enough to keep them, to hopefully keep them floating. Laverne's coming back for his third year, so he's, I'd say, fairly well-fed, and it's been awesome having him on the team. I don't know if that answers your question enough. Anyone else?
I got a question.
Yeah.
What part of you guys up there? I never knew quite like what part of town, like what part of Detroit's pretty big city, like either the south, east, west, Dearborn
sure.
area.
Yeah, so we're actually very close to Dearborn. The church is probably within a half a mile or a mile directly east of Dearborn. We can see downtown, but we have approximately 10 minutes to downtown Detroit. So I think the neighborhood is the southeast Detroit would be the... if you're looking on the map, that's the neighborhood that we'd kind of fall into.
Is there any particular church or any kind of organization that you work under?
Sure. So it started out being Scott and his wife were a part of the Calvary Chapel Church. Daryl and his wife became members there also, and they commissioned them to Detroit. And so up until now, we've been working under Calvary Chapel as a church plant off of them. We have recently applied for membership with BMA, and so it looks like that's probably going to be where things are at moving forward. So. Correct. Yeah. All right. I don't want to take too much time away from Laverne, so I think we're going to be around for lunch, I believe. So it'll be fun to catch up with some of you, and I'll turn the time over to Laverne.
Good morning. I'm excited to be here. I see a lot of potential here. I'd also like to say it's good to see familiar faces. Fi, my guy, and Weston. I was at SMBI with them. Weston was the assistant dean and was one of my dormies, and I consider them both very good friends. And I know that there's a lot of others here that I know as well. I appreciated seeing in the bulletin that the head pastor here is Jesus Christ. I appreciate seeing that. That's something I have not seen before, but ultimately all of our churches that is and should be our head pastor. So if that is the head pastor here, then I think it would be easy for you all to understand and agree with me in one of Jesus' greatest commands, one of his most popular commands, very common to us, I think, when he said that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. And that was Jesus' great commission. I don't have much time, and that is okay with me, because I am honestly very humbled right now. It would be my desire to bring you an eloquent, well-worded, well-thought-out, well-planned message. That is my desire. But I had struggled to put my thoughts together, and I had a lot of thoughts. And my desire, my passionate desire is to put into your minds the needs around you, make you aware of the needs around you, and to put in your minds, to concrete in your minds, maybe if you're considering going somewhere, whether it's in a city here in America, whether it's abroad, whether it's staying right here, is to concrete in your minds to be open and to follow God's will. I know how it is to live a little bit outside of that, to not be fully surrendered to what God wants me to do, and to fight that, and that's not fun. And so I don't know all of you and where you're at in that. If you are feeling called to go somewhere, if you are, go. Don't hesitate. In this Great Commission, I was going to read it like this. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, unless you have a family and you have children and it's a dangerous place, then you should probably stay at home and be in a comfortable environment. That's not true. Because it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if you are in Africa, if you are in Asia, or if you're right here. You are in God's hands, and God can take care of you and your family. Wherever you're at. And I think the topic that I was given was church planting. And when I think of church planting, I think of the invisible church. Brother James, I think, touched on that. What is the word that he used? The universal church. And I think of the invisible church. It doesn't necessarily mean that you go somewhere, you buy a building, you start a church, but that you go somewhere, you invest in community, you meet your neighbors where they're at, and you share the gospel with them. You share the gospel not only in speaking, but also in just the way that you live. And I condemn no one for sitting in this church, for being a member in this church. And I see that you guys are going through a new member class. So I encourage you to continue that, to make new members, and then to take those members and send them out. But like I said, I condemn no one for being here, but something that I want to live by, I heard probably a lot of you are familiar with Rick Rhodes. He said something. He said, everyone is called to go unless they're called to stay. No one is called to just be here, to have a 7-to-5, and to do nothing to further God's kingdom. We are all called. The mission field, in my mind, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, not sure how long ago it was, I was called to go out to Cherry Creek, and I was scared. I was 23 years old, and a two-year commitment seemed pretty big, and I was going to come home, and I was going to be 25 and single, and it just it seemed pretty big to me, right? That was my picture of the mission field. I was going to go, I was going to serve my time, and then come back home. But in my time out there, I think I maybe went out to help and to teach. I didn't go to teach school, but to just teach kids, have kids clubs. And that's what I went out there for. And it was a little bit different than that. I went out there, and the things that I experienced changed my worldview, changed my view of missions. And now I firmly believe that the mission field is not a location, rather, it is a lifestyle. And it doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter if you attend Berea here the rest of your life, if you feel called to go somewhere else, if you feel called to go move down the street, your mission is where you're at. And so there are people, like Devin's shared, he said that, we raised $218,000 in a matter of 8 weeks because of churches like this, because of the community and the network that we have as Anabaptists. And so that is very important. But if you are struggling with where you're at and you feel like God is calling you, but you're just not quite comfortable, please go to your knees, put that aside, and God will take care of you. I'm just thinking about some of the rewards of doing that, some of the things I've gotten to see. First of all, let me back up. When I went out to Cherry Creek, South Dakota, I got there, and the church that I saw, the mission had been there for 20-some years, and I expected to get there, and you know, there's a church full of people. I had never visited there. I had never heard of Cherry Creek before, a few months before I moved out there. And when I got there and I saw that there were probably two natives in the church, I was discouraged. I was like, what are we doing here? Why are there no people in the church? And I was focusing on the results. And it's easy for us as humans to do that. Our human mindset, we like to see results. If we go do something, we want to see the effects of our work. And I did not see that there. And it was discouraging. And so since then, I came across the verse. I don't remember how. I don't remember if somebody shared it to me to encourage me or yeah, I don't remember. But Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3, and I'm sure this is something that y'all are familiar with as well. I'm just going to quickly read a little bit of it here just to give some of the context of what I want to bring out. He said, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet are you now able." And I don't feel that way about any of y'all. I feel that y'all are mature in Christianity and are past that, but this is the setting that Paul was sharing this. "For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" Isn't that what I was feeling? Isn't that like, I wanted to go and to see the results, the effects of my work, and be like, you know, I am the reason this person is a Christian. I brought this person to Christ. Verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered. I skipped a verse. Verse 5, who then is Paul and who is Apollos but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And when I started thinking about that, that verse 6, that I planted, Apollos watered, that is our responsibility. Our responsibility is to go out into the world, to share Christ with the world, whether, like I said, it's saying or doing. Our lifestyle, honestly, speaks more. Whatever it may be, our job is to bring that, to plant it, and to water it, and then God gives the increase. And if you live there for 50 years and no one comes to Christ, that's not on you. We take that burden on ourselves. I do. Take that burden on ourselves. If there's something that we don't feel like we're doing it right, or we feel inadequate because we're not getting a response, that's too much weight. That's not on us. Our responsibility is to introduce them to Christ, to bring them to Christ, to nurture that relationship, and then God gives the increase. And so, like I said, that's kind of that was the sad side of that. And now in Detroit, we had Bible camp. 2 weeks ago now, the first week of August, we had Bible camp, and Scott and Daryl had moved up there 8 years ago, and there are a few signs already of fruit. And one of the boys, just a couple of stories, one of the boys, I'm not sure exactly how old he was probably 11 or 12, I don't know if he was even that old, that lives next door to Daryl's, and he's Hispanic, and he was born and raised in the city, and just because of Daryl's living there and inviting him into their home and ministering and taking him to church, and he gave his life to Christ. I'm not sure how long ago that was, but to take that further, the example that they set, he has convictions that he has come to find himself, some of them may be higher than mine. And he went to SMBI, and from the city of Detroit, he went to SMBI, and now he's currently dating an Anabaptist girl from South Carolina. And so fruit. And then during Bible camp, there were two boys, I think they're 15 and 17, and they have also kind of been involved or been back and forth with the church there and with the people there since Daryl's moved up there. And we were having debriefing after a day of Bible camp, and we could see something was going on in their minds. And that night they gave their lives to Christ. Fruit. So, like I said, I came up here without a single note because I didn't know how to put it onto paper what I wanted to share, and I don't even know if I shared what I wanted to. I hope I shared what God wanted me to. I guess ultimately, go plant churches, whether that's here in the community, whether that's, there are many needs in other cities, there are many needs overseas, but every single one of us could spread out into a different city and be able to meet needs. Planting church is being involved with community, ministering to people, presenting the gospel, living out the gospel to these people, and it's not just a physical church. So I'm not sure how long church is supposed to go. If it's supposed to go to 12, if it's supposed to go to 12, I could probably talk till 12, but I will stop at that. So thank you for having us here. It's been good to be here, and a blessing.